Thank you, Brother David. If you have your Bibles tonight, please turn with me to the book of James, chapter 4. As you're turning there, I failed to mention something that I made note of, and that is that we need to be in prayer for Brother Dennis Marmon. I talked to him this morning, and he was under the weather, but somehow was having a coughing spell and threw his back out. And I talked to him about 30 minutes before the service tonight, and he said he was in excruciating pain and only able to walk with the use of a cane, and is hoping to get in to see an orthopedist in the morning. And so you pray for him that the Lord would lift him up and heal the infirmity that he has now in his back, in addition to whatever it is that he's dealing with, the bronchial condition. And my heart goes out to him. His wife is visiting her sister in New Mexico, and normally when men are a little sick, they need their wives around them to feel sorry for them, and it just somehow helps a little bit. I don't know. The rules are that when I'm sick, Linda doesn't have permission to be sick, because she needs to take care of me and feel sorry for me. But when she's sick, I'm allowed to be sick anytime I want to. And that's just kind of the way that it goes, you know. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about. I was thinking about my granddad, and my granddad was a big, strong, robust man. And he could put up with a lot of things. And I seen him injure his shoulder. Remember when he just messed his shoulder up in the combine and tore his hand up and everything? And I just thought, man, what a tough guy. You know, he could take a lot. But man, if he got the flu, he could sure be a baby about it. Did you ever notice that? And he wanted grandma to feel sorry. And I guess I inherited that in my DNA map. I'm not sure. But I always want people to feel sorry for me when I'm sick. So when I hear about a man whose wife is gone and he's sick, I kind of feel sorry for him a little extra. But James chapter 4 tonight, let's see what the Bible has to say here, beginning in verse number 2, as we read the verse 2 and 3. Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your word and how it instructs our hearts in the way that we should go. I pray, Lord, that tonight as we study this important passage of Scripture, that you would open the eyes of our spiritual understanding. Lord, would you stir us in the inner man that we may seek to have a deeper and more intimate relationship with Jesus, the lover of our soul. God, would you exalt your Son through this service? For we pray this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Tonight I want to go through the Scripture and systematically deal with some things relating to the subject of prayer. And tonight's message is titled, Unhindered Prayer. Unhindered Prayer. How many of you that are in this room tonight believe that God would have us to be a people given to prayer? Let me see your hand. Sometimes I have found that when trouble comes to our lives, before we ourselves go to prayer, we quickly pick up the phone to call someone that we think has a prayer life, because maybe they have a direct line to heaven, and we might have to go through an operator or go through an answering service in order to get up there because of whatever reason. And yet I believe that God would have us all come to the place where when trouble comes or when things are well with us, no matter what the case, we understand we have access into the very throne room of heaven because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. And we can commune with our God in prayer at any time of the morning, noon, or night. I believe that prayer is essential for the Christian who desires to know the heart and the mind of God. Now, years ago, there was a great man. He was the founder and the editor of the Sword of the Lord newspaper. His name was John R. Rice. Perhaps you've heard of Dr. Rice, and he wrote volumes of books over the course of his life, and many of which I agreed with, and some I took some issue with, but nonetheless, God used him to call people to soul winning and America to revival, and I appreciate his legacy. But he wrote a book that I was required to read when I was in Bible college. It was titled Prayer, Asking and Receiving. And he used to preach a message titled Prayer, Asking and Receiving. And he would put his glasses down on his nose and say, and prayer is asking, prayer is asking. And, you know, I have to say something to you. Prayer, asking and receiving is certainly a component of what constitutes prayer, but it is not the sum of what the Bible teaches us about the subject of prayer. It is much more than us coming to the Lord, petitioning God to do for us that which we desire to see done. But there is an aspect in which we come to the Lord and we recognize our inadequacies. We recognize our powerlessness. We understand our need of Him, and we come in humility before the Lord and we bring our petitions to Him. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and thanksgiving with supplication. I can't quote it right now. I'm having a brain freeze or cramp or something. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request